Hello, everyone, and welcome to Local Matters. I'm your host, Buddy Pearson, and on this podcast, Education Matters. Well, TCAP ELA results were released last week by the Tennessee Department of Education, so we thought we'd talk to a couple of folks from the Putnam County School System who might be able to shed some light on these results. Our guests this week, first, we got Jason Stickler, the Supervisor for Data and Testing. Jason, you've been on Local Matters before. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, thank you, buddy.
And we got a newbie on the show. Our other guest is Rachel Manus Gilmore, a Learning Loss Facilitator. Rachel, welcome to Local Matters.
Thank you, Betty.
So the numbers that came out, we sent a press release out, and it was talking about that the spring 2024 scores indicate a 3.1% increase from last year, with a 46% of third graders demonstrating proficiency on the ELA portion of the TCAP assessment. Jason, what does that mean?
Excitement and encouragement.
Awesome.
We're just so blessed to have the staff, the students, and parents that we do in Putnam County to help us reach this academic achievement. You know, and what we're looking at here with these numbers are the percent of students who on the spring 2024 TCAP English Language Arts assessment scored met or exceeded. So we would call that proficient. On that particular assessment. So 46% of our third graders and then our fourth graders at 49.7% proficient.
Yeah, I want to talk about third graders first for a moment, because then when we talk about the fourth graders, I want to bring Rachel in, because that brings in a whole new dynamic. But for the third graders now, do you think the fact that, you know, now they know how important the TCAP is, and all this stigma about, you know, the state law and everything that was kind of thrown on us last year, now, you know, it's become a little bit more the norm. People are preparing for it a little better, and maybe we should be expecting good results.
I think so. You know, I think it's a renewed focus on what our mission is once we reach third grade. Mm-hmm. You know, in those younger grade levels, K through 2, a lot of our energy and our focus, our curriculum is based on basic reading skills, mm-hmm. Phonics, letter sounds, fluency. But once, you know, third grade really turns that corner into more of a comprehension, understanding type of mindset when you're reading. So can we take a text, nonfiction or fiction, and read that text and be able to answer questions based on what we read? You know, can we truly comprehend what has been placed in front of us? And so now we've increased, you know, over the last, you know, since around 2021, we keep increasing by small increments every year, which is great. You know, so
we need to get like huge billboards and just say, "Hey, we are increasing. Yeah. We're not decreasing. We're increasing."
Yeah, we know what we're doing is working.
Yeah,
you know, our teachers are doing the right work every day in the classrooms. But this year, we saw a really big jump.
Yeah,
you know, if we're talking to fourth grade, I mean, almost a 4 or 5% increase.
Yeah,
there from 44.7. to 49.7, and then even in our third grade, a 3 to 4% increase as well. So our largest jump so far based on the preliminary data that we're getting in.
Right.
And I think you're right. I think that goes back to, you know, number one, we continue to do the right thing in the classroom, but that renewed focus on, hey, you know, we need to be squared away on this and with our kids and move forward.
Well, if we look at fourth grade, and we look at the data, and it says it showed growth in fourth grade with a 5% increase from last year and a 49.7% of fourth graders demonstrating proficiency on the ELA portion of the TCAP. That sounds pretty good.
It is good. And remember, that's proficient.
Yeah.
So that's met or exceeded. So we're not even, you know, that's not even taking into account a large group of our students who are doing what they need to do in the classroom, but just right there, you know, a hair away from crossing that line into met or exceeded. And we've got a large population of kids that are right there that, you know, we keep going into, you know, working with our tutoring and our small group work that we're doing. I mean, we could even see a bigger jump next year, which would be just amazing.
And Rachel, that's where I want to talk to you a little bit, because you've got the third graders from last year that are now in fourth grade, and you have tutors that have been working with them, and you've got interventionists who have come in and who have helped. Just from your perspective, that's got to make you proud to see the improvement, because as a learning loss facilitator, you're working with the tutors and interventionists, and you see how hard these people are working.
Yes, absolutely. Just having the 1-to-3 ratio and having those tutors that are really just expert teachers, because 75% of our tutors were retired teachers with 30 years experience.
Wow.
So, and just to be able to see them make that rapport with those classroom teachers, the interventionists, and then all three of those factions working together to support the students, it has just made a world of difference. You know, some of these kids, when they're in a group of 20 in the classroom, you know, when you're taking in all of this, it's hard to think, okay, what do I even understand? What do I not understand? And then getting that specific practice, some of them, you know, may kind of linger away from answering questions, but having that small group,
right,
you know, aid there, I mean, that just, it can make all the difference.
So do you see the interventionists really helping out the third graders more, and then the tutors helping out the fourth graders more?
I think that it's just a team effort all the way around, because one of the things that I do, I go into the schools and really help those teachers network between what's going on in intervention, what's going on in the classroom, and what's going on in tutoring, with a focus of all coming back to that tier one instruction, because that's their goal. That's what they have to do. So therefore, we're taking those targeted skills and, you know, applying them in that small group setting, and then they're accomplishing it in class. So just having that three-tiered structure between the third and the fourth grade, I think is made a lot of difference, even just with the confidence with the kids too.
Now, do other school districts do that, or is that just something that we pretty much focus on?
Most school districts have done that this past year. Next year it's into the law, written into the law, that they will have to have tutoring, so that will be everyone.
So when we get the numbers from the Tennessee Department of Education, and we see these things, and we're talking about increases and percentages and that kind of stuff, what does that mean for your average mom or dad whose kid is in the third or fourth grade? I mean, really, why do they care? Why does, you know, if I have a third or fourth grader that's in, you know, one of the schools in Putnam County, why should I care if you know, as a whole, there's an increase from last year, or that there's a higher percentage?
So the TCAP assessments at the end of the year give us good data. First of all, let me say they're based off of state standards, right? So we keep working back from that. So the state will set standards, curriculum standards, that we are responsible for delivering instruction around. And then the student responsibility comes in, okay, this is what I am expected to learn to be able to do by the end of this school year. And each school year, those standards increase in rigor or difficulty or appropriateness based on what grade level that student is. You know, we talked earlier, you know, maybe K-1 and 2 being a lot of that basic reading foundational skills. Then in third grade, we move into more comprehension. Math works the same way, you know, start out addition, subtraction, maybe into more math fluency. You get into multiplication, then you get division, then you get to fractions, and it keeps building as we move through the grade level. So that TCAP assessment at the end of the year gives us a gauge. Now, that's just one assessment in time, and we know that.
Right.
But it's a good measure as to, okay, here's the end of the year. Where are our kids if we needed to get a good gauge on what assessments they're able to access and understand, that's our main data point at the end of the year, all right? It is the TCAP. So students who maybe moving into fourth, into fifth grade, those fifth grade teachers are able to say, all right, this is where our kids are. You know, I'm getting this group of kids in my classroom. This is what I know they're able to do, or what I might be able to, or that I need to maybe give some student support on or some reinforcement on. As a parent, it lets us know that our student is ready for the next grade level to start those standards on day one, okay? Now, even that approaching group that I mentioned earlier, You know, those kids may be ready as well. But we knew there may be some students that need some additional supports. Mm-hmm. And so that data to a parent will let them know, okay, we need to be looking out for this skill or this standard, that standard. And then we're ready to start those interventions at the beginning of the year.
Yeah. Rachel, is there something you wanted to add there?
Well, as a parent,
yeah,
myself,
yes,
we want our children to be successful.
Absolutely.
And we know that in all walks of life, you have to be able to read,
yeah,
and comprehend things no matter where you are,
yeah,
in society. And just basically, you know, as a pacing guide, as a classroom teacher, mm-hmm, I needed to know where my kids were on day one,
right,
and monitor them as they go, because I want them to be able, at the end, I want those standards, I want them to comprehend. And third grade is such a hard grade. I taught third grade for a while, and it kind of goes from a concrete perception to this abstract idea of what's going on.
Yeah.
And that is a huge deal for our kids. And to see this, what that means to a parent is that, hey, this is where my kid is. What kind of support can I give them? You know, I'm seeing them grow. They've got the tutoring. They've got the classroom support. They've got the intervention support. And everybody's working together just to make my child's, you know, pathway to success and achievement, mm-hmm, possible.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about. So,
right. And it's got to make, you know, the teachers, the tutors, everybody involved feel good when they see these kids learning, when they see the scores going up, that they know that they are making a difference. They are. And we'll talk more about that, but that is a good place to stop for right now. I'm Buddy Pearson. You're listening to Local Matters. We're talking with Jason Stickler, the Supervisor for Data and Testing, and Rachel Manis Gilmore, a Learning Loss Facilitator for Putnam County Schools. This is Local Matters with a focus on education. I'm Buddy Pearson, and our guest this week is PCSS Data and Testing Supervisor Jason Stickler and Learning Loss Facilitator Rachel Manis. And we have been talking about the TCAP ELA proficiency results, and we will come back and talk about that a little bit more, but we want to get to know folks that we have on our podcast. And Jason, we've had you on before. We'll talk to you in a second. Rachel,
yes,
you're new to the podcast. So first of all, how did you become a learning loss facilitator in the Putnam County School System?
Well, I'm originally from White County.
Okay.
And
we won't hold that against you.
After I went to Tennessee Tech, I got married and finished my education at Columbus State University in Georgia,
mm-hmm,
Columbus, Georgia. And I moved with my husband then and stayed there for 17 years.
Oh, wow.
And then went across seas for a couple of years. And then I was able to come back. And I was working at Cornerstone for Tammy Hoover. And I met Melanie Bussell at a data team. And she's like, what are you doing? And, you know, we were talking. But I had a wonderful situation in Georgia to where we did like a learning fast track program because we did reading first.
Right.
And I went back and got my reading specialist and took the praxis and did all the courses and everything. So then that led me back to Maury County, where I started working with the middle schools and RTI programs. So I had experience.
Yeah.
So then when I came back to Putnam County, it just worked out. It was a blessing. And then I started working with Jason and with Melanie Bussell, and we started working with RTI, and then this wonderful thing with tutoring came along, and it's just been, like I said, it's been a blessing. It's dealing with everything that I love on all levels.
Yeah.
Going from talking with parents, being with students, being with teachers, being with the interventionists, and then we have just a wonderful team here at Central Office.
So yeah, absolutely.
It's been a wonderful learning experience. I learn something every day.
And you get to work with Jason.
Yes.
I mean, who doesn't love working with Jason? I mean, come on. Personally, tell us about your family.
Well, I have a daughter that is in University of Illinois.
Okay.
And she is getting her PhD in biochemical engineering there.
Wow.
Uh-huh. And then I have a son who is 22, and he's at Cleveland State.
Okay.
And then my youngest son, Seth, will be a sophomore at Cookeville High School this year.
All right.
He plays the saxophone,
yeah,
and he's working on playing the bass. So I have a very busy life with my kids. And then my husband, I got married to my high school sweetheart.
Awesome.
We'll have our one-year anniversary June 30th.
Oh, wow. That's great. Awesome. So, Jason, I know you did a little fishing on Father's Day.
I did.
Yeah, big fisherman. How'd that go?
Went well. Yeah. brought one in.
Yeah.
So he's excited.
One of the things I think people need to know is that at the central office, I mean, it is like a team. And I see Jason, you, and I see Rachel, and I see you guys working with Melanie. I just see you working with all the teachers and principals and Diana and Bubba and all that. And I think people need to realize just what a team effort it is. And when we look at results, yes, we see kids that have, you know, achieved higher on a TCAP score. What people may not realize is that's the work of, you know, that individual doing great on that test. It's also the work of that teacher. It's also the work of that tutor. It's also the work of that interventionist. It's also the work of everybody who's putting all this stuff in place, that it is a huge team effort when those scores come out, because then we start celebrating, because who doesn't want to see kids, you know, achieve at their best? And that's what we're trying to do. So thank you for what you do on that level. So if we're looking at TCAP scores, and I know you're a data nerd. I mean, come on, let's just put it out there. I love you, man. But you're a data nerd. Perfect for data and testing. I mean, you have numbers like nobody I've ever seen. So during the summertime, what are you working on as far as the data and the testing?
So right now, one of the things that we start focusing on coming out of the end of the year is summer school.
Yeah.
So, you know,
up today, Tuesday.
Yeah. So what we end up doing is first, you know, one of the things that we always talk about here is transparency with our parents and community.
Yeah.
You know, so as soon as we get word that scores are coming out, you know, now certain scores we're not allowed to release. Mm-hmm. Because they're embargoed until certain dates. But as soon as we get
that's something that the state of Tennessee does. They're,
correct.
You know, they're
correct.
Like, no, we're going to release all these at the same time. So we're not holding any information back. We're not trying to keep it from anybody. The state
correct.
Tells us when we can release these things.
That's correct. Yeah, and pretty strict on that, on those rules. So, you know, we definitely want to adhere by the policy there, but as soon as we get the green light on certain files and certain data, I think these scores came out, and within 24 hours we were sending these out to schools and making contact with parents. You know,
yeah.
So that's one of the first things that we do. So we get our comprehensive files in and start looking at, all right, which students do we need to focus on immediately to ensure that they have a pathway to move on to fourth grade. So that was our first dive into the work once we started getting those files back. So, but then from there, you know, you mentioned that team aspect, you know, we're a fairly large district.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, many elementary schools, and we actually just, you know, we only do a few summer school campuses. So to take all the schools in the county and to consolidate them into, you know, four campuses,
yeah.
I mean, that's some work, from transportation to food service to health services, intervention, tutoring, and then also making sure that we don't let any student, we don't miss any student to make sure they have that summer school pathway to fourth grade. And so that it starts there. And then as we move through summer school, you know, monitoring that data, you know, students have to take a post-test. So they've been in that, doing that the last couple of days. You know, one of the pathways requires students to make some growth during summer school. So, you know, analyzing that data, making sure that we're informing parents, yes, they did make growth, or no, they didn't. And so now we can go to plan B or plan C. And then that's just a third grade. Then we have to start looking at fourth grade. So around July, we're going to be getting that file in for the fourth graders to look to make sure they made the adequate growth, because that's a pathway to fifth grade.
Right.
And so we'll be analyzing that data. And then while that's going on, we're getting data files in for the other grade levels and the other subject areas.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the data now is tied to school accountability, to mm-hmm. funding, to, you know, even hiring of staff and, you know, staff's performance evaluations. And so taking all the data, make sure that it's placed appropriately in each department, it takes up a lot of the work over the summer to ultimately get us ready for beginning of August.
Yeah. And Rachel, I'm sure that you've got a lot of stuff going on in the summer too.
Yes, I'm part of that district team. I work under Jason with doing the testing and making sure that everybody is in our SPEAR platform. And then we have tutoring going as well. And I have seen some wonderful things going on in this summer school. Just you know, more of that some of it's one to one.
Is that where the tutoring is going on? Is that the summer learning camp?
Yes, okay. Yes. We also have the tutors even at our Prescott location where it's the middle school. So Ashley Reeves is there, and you know, talking about the team, just a lot of the tutors for this summer are either RTI interventionists during the year. Some of our instructional coaches, Ashley Reeves is at Prescott. She's doing a wonderful job with our kids there. So it is, we're still going strong.
All right. Well, I'm Buddy Pearson. You're listening to Local Matters. This is Local Matters with a focus on education. I'm Buddy Pearson. Our guest this week, PCS Data and Testing Supervisor Jason Stickler, Learning Loss Facilitator Rachel Manus Gilmore, and we have been celebrating and talking great about the TCAP ELA proficiency results that's come in. It's been positive stuff for third grade, fourth grade. Increase and percentages, and we've got all the good stuff, and that's great. But what if that third grader did not make the score that they should make? What if they're in that below what is next for them? Because you know, we're wrapping up summer learning camp, and there's been tutoring going on, and you have all these things that has been great, but then there is that flip side of my third grader didn't do what was expected, so now what? I'm a parent. What are you telling me? What's going to happen to my third grader now?
Yeah, so right now our focus is on those pathways, so yeah. Both third and fourth grade, multiple pathways to move into that next grade level. Summer school just applies to one, you know, it's one of those pathways for students to score below if they make 90% attendance in summer school and then show some adequate growth on there. We can promote them up to fourth grade and then add on the tutoring for the fourth grade year.
And they did a good job of consolidating or condensing summer school this year. It didn't run the whole month of June. It ran 16 straight days. And so that kind of gave people an opportunity here at the end of June to be able to go on vacation and take some time off. And, you know, it wasn't the whole month of June that kids were having to go to summer school.
Yeah, that's a good point. And you know, we definitely, you know, we know that you know, this is our focus. You know, student success is our focus and you know, no doubt. But we don't want to overshadow the importance of kids being able to be kids.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And kids being able to be kids you know, definitely plays a part in their success. And so we recognize that here in Putnam. And so we want to try to foster that as much as we can, you know. But looking at those pathways, you know, we're in an appeal process as well. So I would encourage parents if they want to submit an appeal, June 28th is the last day to submit an appeal. And they can do that by logging on to our PCSS website.
Now, why would I submit an appeal?
So there's two reasons, two grounds that you can submit an appeal for.
And that's if my student didn't, yeah.
Yeah, if they scored approaching. On TCAP. So there's two appeal routes you can go. And the first route is a catastrophic event. So within the last 6 months, if there was a catastrophic event that prevented a student from performing as they should on TCAP, then the parent can submit an appeal on that. Ground two or ground one, that'd be number two. Ground one would be if the student showed proficiency on a screener. Mm-hmm. So reading screener at the end of the year, certain percentages we can submit an appeal off of that. So for third grade, be their Ames Web or their iReady reading screener at the end of the year. So that'd be a ground one appeal. And one of the great things, too, you know, we talked about teamwork earlier and the importance of that. Our principals, you know, I just need to do a shout out to our principals as well. You know, parents, if you need help, filling out these appeals, we have processes ready to do that and support systems ready. Our summer school principals at each location, then our elementary school principals are available to help as well to get all the information that parents need for those. So big work now making sure that we're getting the pathways completed to move students forward.
And Rachel, from a tutoring perspective, you know, depending on the numbers, depends on how many tutors that you need.
Absolutely. I'm really excited that we have I had 23 tutors. I've gotten 19 confirmations that they're coming back next year.
Yeah.
And then we're going to be expanding from 10 elementary schools. We're going to pick up Baxter Primary again next year. And then we'll have 5 middle schools. That's including Berks. And then we've got a couple at the Vital program. And then we'll have to see how it works out with White Plains Academy. But we have all of those support structures in place. I've got some training scheduled. We're looking and working with the principals on their scheduling and then when this is going to occur, and that's what goes on these summer months, buddy. I mean, it's a lot of emails, it's a lot of calls,
a lot of coordinating,
but it's just a well-oiled machine because we've had experience, and that's one of the things that, you know, some of the districts in Tennessee have been in all core tutoring,
right?
And because that's what went on for 3 years with the grant. And Putnam County, we were just, you know, in the ball game early.
Yeah.
So we know kind of what to expect, and we've kind of got our wheels in motion, which has been a wonderful thing for our students, our teachers. Everyone is on board at this point, and it just creates such a positive environment, and that kids, I hope, my wish is for everyone to see tutoring as acceleration and help, and then it's not something that is a negative thing at all. So, and I think that everyone that has had experience with tutoring has had, I haven't heard anything negative at all. So I'm really looking forward to that. And like I said, we've got supports going from ground up, and we're going to make sure that these kids get everything they need.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about last year's third graders. They've gone through the tutoring support. They've got to this point, and if they didn't show improvement on the TCAP, what is their pathway now?
So so this would be fourth grade moving into fourth grade for next year.
Yeah.
Moving forward. So if students were promoted into fourth grade under a tutoring pathway, then those students would be expected to show adequate growth on their English language arts assessment at the end of fourth grade.
Right. So what about the fourth graders that are there now that were the third graders last year, you know, the year before when we're talking about the going into the fifth grade, the fourth graders?
So the subgroup of students that we would be looking at there would be, you know, as I mentioned, if they were in tutoring in fourth grade,
yes,
then they would have had to make adequate growth at the end of 2024.
Yeah.
So that's the file that we're waiting on to come out. We should have those results around July 1st. So with those students, we can promote those students if we do tutoring in fifth grade as well. So we do have a pathway now for those students to move to fifth grade.
And I think that's important to recognize, because I think at the beginning of the school year this past year, we were looking at each other thinking, okay, what's the pathway for these fourth graders to get to fifth grade if they don't make improvement on their TCAP test?
And that was a recent change.
Yeah.
You know,
by the state.
By the state. Last, you know, kind of toward the end of the year, those last couple of weeks, we were pleasantly surprised that we were able to offer that pathway. And so we'll be letting parents know late summer, you know, what fifth grade is going to look like. But we're extremely hopeful we're going to be able to get most of our students up into fifth grade.
Yes, absolutely. And I've already started making numbers and getting that ready and talking about tutors, and they're excited because a lot of the tutors are like, oh yes, I want my same, same students. And then they've
the
got
same
that.
Tutor can have the same.
And
that's
because
great.
they did make that movement. They already know that person and it's someone that they feel comfortable with. And then that's a lot of, you know, the process of learning is, you know, just having that confidence, having that rapport with someone and being able to trust and say, okay, you're telling me to do this, I'm going to give you my best. And so it works out that way. But, you know, those kids they're going to have – this is going to be in their learning plan.
Yeah.
This is going to be something that's worked with their teacher, their administrator. If we have an RTI interventionist going in, a tutoring, and that student is going to have all of those supports set up, and we are going to make sure that they get tutoring and that, and everything ties back to that Tier 1 curriculum so they get those standards so they will be successful.
Awesome.
And just to keep building on that.
Yeah, and it looks to me like now that there are so it's positive to see the continuing pathways from third grade through fifth grade, even if their TCAP ELA scores remain approaching. But there are good possibilities that they're going to continue to step up in the grades.
Yeah, and that's what we've seen. You know, when this started a few years ago, I think, you know, when it first came out, it was, you know, you either passed or you didn't. And what we've seen this evolve into is a more of a support pathway system.
Yeah.
So if we don't meet expectations on TCAP,
okay,
let's sit down.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at it. Let's meet with the teachers and principal, find out which pathway we can use to move into the next grade level.
Right. And as a parent, that's what I want.
Exactly.
I mean, if my child is struggling, yeah. I'm going to work as hard as I can at home, and I want to know that those people at school are doing everything that they can. That it's a community effort in school, and that's what our kids need to thrive and to do the things that they need to do, so they're set up for success.
We got the 24-25 school year coming up. It's going to be starting in, you know, here we are.
Yep, close your eyes and you're going to blink and it's going to be a,
But when that school year starts, and then it's kind of like a reset button, everybody resets and refocuses. Is there anything for either one of you that you're going to be looking at in this upcoming school year that might be different from this past year that you're maybe looking forward to, that's just something positive that's just kind of building on what we've been talking about?
Okay, I really am going to plug the instructional coaches right now.
Okay.
Because we have 8 instructional coaches in Putnam County, and they are our curriculum specialists. They know, they tie everything to the standards, because if you have a test at the end of the year,
right,
you know, we need to make sure that we are preparing our students. So we know what's going to be on it. We know what the first grade standards are, second grade, third, and so on. And what pulls a lot of this together, even with my tutors, mm-hmm. Are these instructional coaches working with the classroom teachers, working with administrators, working with, you know, the curriculum directors and the supervisors, and then everything comes together that way.
Yeah.
And it's just this wonderful structure that they put in motion, and it really helps everything come together. And I have never worked at a school system before where everybody is just hands in.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's on that team. We're all working together. And I'm just super, super excited to be able to have some training set in place. We've got our district PLCs going on, and everybody is working to understand what we need to do to help our kids succeed.
Great. Well, that's all the time we have for this week on Local Matters. I'd like to thank our guests, PCS Data and Testing Supervisor Jason Stickler. Jason, thank you so much for breaking down the numbers.
Thanks, buddy.
And Rachel Manus Gilmore, the Learning Loss Facilitator here for Putnam County Schools, thank you for your enthusiasm and for what you do with the tutors and interventionists and all those folks.
Thanks, buddy. It's my pleasure.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a great week, and God bless.